as we're still observing some things from the life of Moses that is going to give us some indication of how to press into a greater intimacy with the Lord. Yeah, as you know, and I know sometimes you get irritated with this, there's sometimes dings that happen during the service. You know, a phone goes off or a tablet goes off and there's sounds that happen. Sometimes it's happening at work, or there's just all these sounds around us today, right? But those sounds have purposes to them. Some of them aren't really useful and others are. But we use these devices and other things to try to remind us of things. Some of them are a little more obnoxious. So if you follow sports and you've set up your ESPN app to alert you when a game started or when someone scored, they usually play that ESPN Sports Center sound, da-na-na, da-na-na, or something like that. And then you can't hide that you set your phone to tell you the soccer score just happened or whatever, or the draft just started. But when we care about sports, we do a lot of things to make sure we're up on what's happening. You know, we buy the magazine or reading stuff online, or we set these alerts up, or watching the sports shows, or we're having the conversations and we're talking with people, having people over to our house to watch the game, and we're making sure we know what's happening. With anybody know who the starting quarterback for the Steelers is this year? See, there's people paying attention, all right? And so we do all that stuff because we got to make sure we're on top of what's happening with our team, right? Okay? We do the same thing with maybe work. Anybody do continuing education or things like that, or career development kind of things? Or maybe you're looking for another job, and so you have things set up online to remind you when there's a job opening that's available and things like that, because you care about progress in your work. We do that with our health. Anybody wear those kinds of watches that have like the pedometer on it and the heart rate on it and the pulse, and some of you are pointing at them and it tells you all kinds of different things that are going on, and then you also have to set things to remind you to take your blood sugar level or to test this or check that or take your medication. Or anybody have those medication things that shows you if you took your medicine for that particular day? You know, you got all these things reminding you, got to make this appointment, that appointment. And we make sure that we remember, right? We do all this activity to make sure we're doing the things that we need to do physically. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's important. So we want to make sure we take care of that. We do the same thing just for anything we want to get done. We set up reminders. Anybody need to make a way for you to remember to do stuff or you will never do it? Anybody like me? I saw that somebody's bumping each other over there. Or money. You can get your bank account to tell you when a transaction's happened or things have come out. Or because we forget things, we have automatic deductions so that our bills just get taken out so we don't forget about it. Automatic deposit, all of those things, because there's important things that have to get done, and we just forget things, and so we want to make sure that they get done. As much as those things are important things in our lives, how much do we do that with our relationship with the Lord? Do we do anything to remind ourselves to spend time in prayer, to study His Word, to give, to be involved in ministry? Are we doing things to keep ourselves aware that I'm supposed to be seeking Him? Or are we just hoping that it will happen? And I don't know about you, but when we just hope that it will happen just on its own, how many times does that happen? You know, or it's, if I just hope that it's just going to happen, it doesn't usually work that way. And how serious do we take our physical health, our finances, our job, our sports, and how do we do in comparison with taking care of our relationship with the Lord? What are we doing? What are we investing to make sure that we are drawing close to Him? And you might say, well, I think I'm good. I think I'm good with my relationship with the Lord. Well, how zealous am I really for Him? How passionate am I for Him? How committed am I? How faithful am I to do the things that He's called me to do? How driven am I? How close do I feel to Him? How much intimacy do I truly have with the Lord? And if there's a gap between where I should be, would like to be, and where I actually am, then what am I doing about it? Am I just hoping that that will change? Or am I doing anything to change that? And where we're landing with Moses this morning is when he began, under the Lord's direction, to institute certain practices and certain routines that they would do to instigate their desire to serve the Lord. So anybody ever feel like you need a jump start? Ever needed a jump with your car? Okay. Ever feel like you're just drained? You're just dragging? You need a jump start energy-wise? Okay. The same happens with our faith. We need a jump start sometimes with our faith. And how do we get to that place where we receive that jump start and we're back to being passionate, zealous, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, pursuing him and having that intimacy with him? Would you like to have that this morning? Okay, so how are we going to jumpstart that? It's by three behaviors that we see Moses guiding us through, God ultimately through Moses, three behaviors that if we do these behaviors, they're going to be a part of jumpstarting that passion for the Lord. The first behavior is to take action, to start doing something. Now, in Exodus 13, we get the Passover instituted, where they were to have this feast of unleavened bread, and they were supposed to do this observance, this ceremony annually. It ends up getting linked to communion that we do today, which I've always been perplexed because it's the Passover into communion, and there's some people that really get upset if we don't have communion at church every Sunday, but the meal was linked to an annual event. Okay. Now, that's not that we can't do it more often, and we do it more often. We do it monthly. But it was an annual event that they were told to do, and it wasn't a sabbatical. Ever hear of a sabbatical? If you don't know, a sabbatical is where you just take some time away from everybody. Maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's not, but you just get away from everybody. Anybody feel like you could take an all-year sabbatical? Just get me away from everybody for just a year. I'm done. But this is not that, because the Passover, I hear that, Don, the Passover is a time that they got together with other people. They weren't just escaping from people. They were coming together with other people with the purpose of seeking the Lord. And we actually can do things like that. It might not have to be a literal 7 days, because again, we're working through Old Testament here, and there is transition into the new. But there's something to taking a trip or doing something special for a few days, a year, with other people that you're seeking the Lord. Some of you ladies did that yesterday for just a day event. There's the Hershey trip that happens in the fall. That's a 2-night, 3-day event. Guys, actually, me and John are in the works of coordinating a men's retreat that we're planning on taking in September, hopefully. And so we get together with other guys for a few days for the purpose of seeking the Lord. And what happens is in those events, because we're giving some dedicated attention at that time, some great things happen relationally between each other. Some great things happen between us and the Lord. And aren't we supposed to seek the Lord every day? Yes. But sometimes there's something too, because like, are you saying you don't get distracted from your pursuit of the Lord in your daily things? Like when we're here, it's like, okay, work to do, I got this job. Anybody like me, you just like, if you see any messes around, you're like, I can't rest, like I just gotta clean everything that's around me, right? Okay, so like there's always distractions here. So there's times where we just need to get away from the distractions and seek the Lord in a special way like that. And we might say, but that takes time. You know, like I would have to take work off to do that. That takes time to do. It's 2 nights away. It's probably going to cost some money to go to that. And so that's an investment there. And so I don't know if I really want to do that. But how many times do we invest money and time for medical things that we want to take care of, for job things that we want to take care of, for earthly relationship things we want to take care of, or even just because we want to get away or relax or whatever, or even for our sports stuff? I mean, how much money does it cost to go to a Steelers game now, right? Okay, so we spend all that time investing in these other things. Are we not willing to say that I need to take some time out of a year to invest in my relationship with Jesus Christ? And whether it's, don't wait for Bethel, whether it's an event that Bethel's going to, partnering with, or there's always events around that are available to link to Christian events, find something and be a part of that and let that jumpstart our faith. And some of us, the reason why we're struggling with our intimacy with the Lord, The reason why we don't have that felt presence or we're not hearing clearly from him is we're not getting in the rhythm of taking these kinds of actions, of investing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about this verse. When we seek him, we will find him. When we seek for him with all of our heart. Okay, it's not just a, okay, God, just come on in and bless me. No, there's got to be investment in it from our end. Okay, so one of the actions is to do something annually to jumpstart that. The second action in Exodus 28 to 10 talks about the Sabbath. Now, we know that the Sabbath is, in the Old Testament, is, anybody know what day of the week that is? Saturday, yep. It's Saturday is the actual Jewish Sabbath. And that transitioned when we got to the New Testament halfway through that first century. But there's this rhythm of taking time every week. So this isn't just an annual thing now. This is once every week taking some time to seek the Lord in an extended fashion. We're supposed to pray and seek the Lord and study his word daily. But this is a once a week, I'm going to get together, again, communal, for all those introvert friends of mine that really wish all this stuff was private. A lot of this stuff is with other people. We get together with other people to worship the Lord and spend some time seeking him longer than just our usual devotional time. And again, that takes time, right? It takes time to get dressed and get ourselves here. Some of us I know have health issues, and it takes, anybody, does it take a long time to get your body out the door? Because your body just takes a whole process to go. And I know that there's an investment to that. Some of us live further away. Sometimes there's weather issues. Sometimes we have work issues. And I know that it's an investment of time, isn't it? Because there's a lot of other things you could be doing with these 2 hours, right? Okay, there's a lot of other things to take care of. It's an investment of our time, sometimes of our resources. But again, we would possibly take these 2 hours out of our day to do some project on our house, okay, or to spend some time with friends, or to do a work project. Are we willing to invest time, money, energy, resources into our relationship with the Lord? And a lot of people are wondering, why aren't they experiencing this intimacy with the Lord, and they're not investing in it? They're not. When you do financial investment, do you make more money when you invest a little bit or a lot? Okay, you got to put more money in if you're going to receive an investment back. And the same kind of thing works with the Lord. If I'm willing to invest in this, then I will get something out of it. Those who seek me will find me when they search for me with all their heart. Okay, so the more I invest in this, the more I'm getting back. So if I'm not investing, then I shouldn't be confused as to why I'm struggling to hear his voice, why I'm not seeing his power displayed in my life. Because listen, Moses didn't just go, Lord, I just want you to do great things, and just showed up and parted the sea and called down frogs and all kinds of crazy stuff, and his face started shining. Moses invested in his relationship with the Lord, and that's why he saw God work in the way that God worked in his life. Thirdly, Exodus 13 and Numbers 15 talks about, and again, these aren't things we literally do now, per se, but they would wear these objects on their foreheads and on their wrist, and they typically would carry some statement from Scripture or a quotation from Scripture to be a reminder to them that they're supposed to be studying the Word of God or living according to the Word of God. And we sometimes, as Pentecostals or as Protestants, because who are the ones that like to have more of the objects and ceremonial things? Okay, Catholics usually like to have more of the ceremonial things, wear the crucifix, do all of those object things, and we don't want to make a graven image, right? Okay, but I think sometimes we miss out on the point of the not making a graven image is to not have objects that we're worshiping. Not that we can't have objects. Otherwise, you guys who have jewelry on should take your jewelry off. I see you hiding that now, Arlene. You're embracing it. Okay. But the Jews would use things, stuff, to remind them to seek the Lord and serve the Lord. And I think sometimes in our being evasive to those kind of things, we miss out. But we bring that into so many other areas in our lives. We set reminders. How many have screensavers that are like reminders of certain things? Or you write Post-it notes somewhere. Anybody write Post-it notes places? I remember when I worked in title insurance, I had a whole cubicle covered with Post-it notes to remind me of, don't forget to do this, don't forget to do that. Anybody use calendars? Whether it's a physical calendar or a calendar on your phone or alarms. Have you ever set your alarm to go off a certain day just to remind you to do it at that time because you won't remember when the calendar? Anybody ever set up 5 alerts and you still forgot to do it? Okay, so but we when we really care of I need to remember to do this, we put things around us to remind us to do that. Why not do that in our service for the Lord? Set a reminder on our phone at 6:30 in the morning. Don't forget to pray. Set a reminder on our phone at 5 o'clock when we're leaving for work. Don't forget to play a chapter from the Bible on the Bible app when you're driving home. Set a reminder on our phone to give. Did you, and I don't mention this often, but we have online giving. Did you know that there's a feature on there that you can set up reoccurring giving to where it just automatically comes out? And I don't say it often because I don't like to push that too much. But if you forget to do it and you want to do it, then you do it with all your other things, right? Automatic withdrawal. Why not do it with giving? And so do that with anything in life. Set a reminder. Put something on your car to remind you when you're going out. Make sure to share your faith with someone. But set reminders. We do it with everything else. Why not make reminders for us to serve the Lord? He knows we're absent-minded, right? That's why he told them to wear the tassels and things like that, because we need help in serving him. So set up reminders to do these things to seek and serve the Lord. The fourth action, Exodus 20, and I read this at the start of the service, verse 23 and 24. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth shall you make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. And throughout the Old Testament, especially with the patriarchs in Genesis, the patriarchs would set up an altar. They would build an altar. When they had this encounter with the Lord, they wanted to seek him, they would build an altar to seek him. And here is Moses, by God's inspiration, telling us to make an altar of earth. Okay. Now, I know that this room is called a sanctuary, but all of us have limited access to how often we'll be in this space. And what the patriarchs were doing was they were setting spaces that when I'm in this space, I'm seeking the Lord, wherever that space might have been. And we all have spaces like that, maybe for relaxation. Anybody have like an emotional recovery space in your life, like a room that you go to that you're like, this is how I'll get away from everybody. I'm going to hide in this room. Some people make that the bathroom. That seems to be the case in my house. Everybody just locks themselves up in the bathroom, and I'm like, there are 6 of us. We do need to all get in there and use that room, you know, because they'll be in there forever. But I'm sure you guys might not be thinking of it, but you probably have a space in your life that when you want to feel alone or at peace or to rest, you have a place. Maybe you have a recliner, you know, you have a favorite sofa, but we have spaces for those kind of things. This is a sanctuary. We need to make spaces in our lives that this is the space that I seek God in. And that doesn't mean we can't seek him anywhere else. It's just because here's what happens. If I decide that when I walk into this room, I'm going to seek the Lord, then when we walk into the room becomes a reminder to seek the Lord. Or if I decide every time I'm going to drive, I'm going to spend time praying, then what starts to happen when that habit forms is when we get in the car, all of a sudden, I'm in my car, I'm supposed to be praying. And we've created places that remind us to seek the Lord. And again, this might sound crazy to us, but the Jews did all of these things. They set up all these practices and all these ceremonial type things to remind themselves to do this stuff. And I'm telling you, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't remember to do this stuff. In fact, on Wednesdays, when we're talking about things, the different disciplines we need to do, I've started surveying the group to see what are we missing and why is that happening. And you know what? One of the most common answers as to why they don't do certain practices in their faith is they forgot to do it, okay? Because I really think that our heart's in it. We really do love the Lord, and we want to seek him, and we want to serve him. We just forget to do them. But we set alarms to remind us to take our medication, make our appointments, and pay our bills. Why not do all of these things to remind us to seek and serve the Lord? Is it not worth the investment? I think it is. And I think that's part of the reason why we miss these things is because we're not taking action. Fifth action, Deuteronomy 7, verse 17 to 19 says this. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. So if I'm feeling anxious, fearful of a certain thing that's in front of me, you shall not be afraid of them, but shall remember the Lord your God, what he did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. When you are anxious or concerned about something in front of you, have you ever been anxious about something that's in front of you? Okay. When I'm anxious about that, or maybe even angry about it, or frustrated, or sad about it, when I'm having emotions, the response should be to turn to the Lord, to seek him, to reflect on what he's done in our lives. And isn't that stated also in the New Testament? Remember in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And so when I feel an emotion, I need to start praying. And what we need to start doing is let our emotions, do you guys ever feel emotional? Okay? Because we feel those often, right? We feel these emotions. The goal of these emotions spiritually is to let them be prayer alerts. Again, we get alerts on our phone that a draft just happened or a trade just happened with a sporting thing or a draft happened out of our account. We need to set alerts for ourselves to pray. And so I need to get in the habit of when I'm anxious, I need to start praying. When I'm angry, I need to start praying. When I'm sad, I need to start praying. And we might say, well, that's a lot. You know, going on a trip every week, extended time in worship, setting up reminders, setting up sanctuaries and spaces to do this, and making my emotions be a guide to this. That's a lot of stuff to do. Should I really be that invested in this thing? What did Joe just say earlier? Jesus doesn't just have the truth. He is the truth. Okay, so if we want to find life and the life abundantly that he has for us, especially the eternal life, then we need to start taking this seriously and invest everything we can in this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And some of us are missing it because we are not setting up this structure. Now, some of us, there's different types of people. There's structure people, and then there's fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants people, okay? Now, who among us are the structured people? Okay, I'm a structured person. There's some structured people. Who are the fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants people? Okay, so we have some of you also. And you know what? You're both great. You're both wonderful. You're both a gift from God. It's just both of them have weaknesses. Okay? Now, a lot of people like to say, I just want it to happen spontaneously. And it's like that in marriage, right? We don't want to say, hey, will you say these things to me? And will you treat me this way? Will you take me out on a date? We don't want to have to say it. We want them to just think to do it, right? We just want it to happen naturally. We don't want to schedule romance, right? That doesn't sound romantic. We just want it to happen naturally. But you know what happens with a lot of those things that we just want to happen naturally? They never happen. They just don't happen. And so in order to make the important things happen, we need to do structure. And so for those of us that are not structural, we need to remember that I need this because, and if we're honest with ourselves, we're not quite where we're supposed to be with the Lord. Okay, so if that's the case, I need to introduce some structure to this. But for those of us who are structured, there's a flaw with us also, is that a lot of times when we get structured, at some point we are so focused on the routine, we forget why we're doing the routine in the first place. And we might get a lot of stuff done, even spiritual things done. We might read our Bible and pray every day. We might go to church every week. But something's not quite happening still, and that's when we miss the organic stuff or the passion stuff or the meaning behind things. And this is actually what happened to the Pharisees. Do you remember the Pharisees? The Pharisees got all the structure down, right? They were following all the rules. Jesus said, you tithe on even the dill and on the mint. Like every single crop that comes through, you tithe on. They got all the structure down. They didn't get the meaning. They didn't have their heart into it. And so we need to do the structure to take action, but we also need to be mindful of what is actually happening. When I go on this trip, when I come to church on Sunday, when I am setting up these reminders, when I'm putting on worship music, what is actually happening when I'm doing these things? The first, Exodus 13, back to the Passover, as well as the Sabbath in Exodus 20. That, again, was linked to communion. And Passover, they were to do it to remind themselves that when they were in Egypt, when the angel of death came to kill all the firstborn sons, they had blood of the lamb on their doorpost and on the lintel. And the angel of death passed over them and spared them. Okay? And then that gets linked for our communion that we receive. And the same kind of details hold in that communion, is that when the blood of Jesus Christ in this instance, is on us, when time comes to judge our sins, guess what happens with that judgment? It passes over us. Okay? So we are spared because of this Passover, because of this ordinance, because of this celebration. We have been forgiven of, set free of the judgment of our sins. And so when we do communion or when we do things of that nature, what I need to be thinking of is, he's let me off the hook. This God that I'm seeking right now, he has every right to crush me. He has every right to just toss me aside. But this God that I'm seeking right now isn't. He's not tossing me aside. In fact, he's doing the opposite. He's seeking me and giving me his favor. And I need to be mindful of that. Because again, I could just drink the grape juice and pop the cracker in my mouth and be doing nothing. Unless I'm being mindful of, Jesus Christ has done so much for me. And so I owe him. Not I owe him in the sense that I need to pay him back. We can never pay him back. But I owe him in the sense of, I should give him everything. I should surrender my whole life to him. I should be a living sacrifice before him. And the motivation, because if you've ever wondered, how do I find the motivation to do these things? This is how. Being aware of, you know what he's done for me? Yes, I'm going to go to church. Yes, I'm going to give money. Sure. Go on a retreat. Absolutely. Spend 3 hours in an outreach sharing my faith. Yes, he has done so much to me. I want to do this for him. But it can't just be the routine. It has to be the routine that reminds me to think about what is happening in this relationship with the Lord. Second item that I need to be mindful of is back to those tassels. They were to wear those scriptures on their bodies to remind them that they're supposed to do the stuff that they're reading in the scripture. And I need to be mindful when I'm doing the routine of reading scripture, I'm supposed to find out what it is I'm supposed to do. You know, it's not just supposed to be feel good. It's not just supposed to be, I'm going to read it because I did my duty. I'm supposed to read this. And so I read it and it's done with. It's supposed to be, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What is it that you expect of me? What is it? How is it that you want me to view the people in my life, to treat the people in my life? What is it that you want to be doing with my time? And if we take that approach that way, we're going to find a lot more meaning in Scripture than just, I did it. You know, like the Bible app gave me a check. Have you ever noticed on the Bible it tells you how many a streak you have on how many days you've opened the Bible app? Unfortunately, there's a flaw in it. You could just open the app and then it says it counts it towards your day and you didn't even do anything with it. But if I know that he wants me to live, did you know he expects that of you? He expects us to live according to his scripture. And so if I'm going to please him, then I need to be finding out what is it that he expects of me. Also, in Exodus 20, when he speaks of the Sabbath, he links it to the creation order. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before. The Sabbath is the seventh day, the day of rest. And he set it up that way because 6 days God created what? The heavens and the earth. All of creation God created in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. And so when we come in to church on our Sabbath or our expression of that, we need to be remembering everything around me God has made. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I know that in this room are man-made things, but we didn't make them out of thin air. You know, this wood came from God. God made the wood. We used it to make the beams. The walls made of rock and other materials, the carpeting, everything around us, the clothes that we're wearing, God made everything that's around us. Remember the eclipse that just happened, what, a week or two ago? God made that beautiful scene. Or if we ever think of one of my places is Niagara Falls. Have you ever been there? That beautiful waterfall scene. Or if you've ever been to a beach or Sean and Gracie were just at the Dominican Republic and you've ever seen the beautiful creation that God has made, or hiking through the woods. And we need to be constantly reminding ourselves, everything I'm touching, everything I'm walking through, God has made. And what that should instigate in us is, look at how amazing God is. Look at how creative God is. Look at how powerful God is. The Bible even says that all creation cries out that there is a God. It's meant to be a testimony to us. And we just pass through it like it's nothing, you know? We just treat it like it doesn't matter. Instead, we need to stop and, what's that saying, stop and smell the roses, right? We need to pay attention to the things around us and let that draw us to Him. So don't just come to church, but come to church and say, what is all around me that is the evidence that God is doing something and that God is majestic? And let these things draw us to Him. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 to 14 says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and statutes, which I command you today, which when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You know, the Bible says that every good thing comes from the Lord. Okay? You have a good marriage. It's from the Lord. Yes, you might have done some work to land in that relationship and maintain it, but the only reason you've been able to do that is because of what God has provided you with. The abilities God's provided you with, the looks that you have. If you're married, look at your spouse and say, I'm the one with good looks. There's some hesitancy there. Good, there's humility in this room, okay? But your good looks that drew that person in, God gave you those good looks, okay? The job that you have that you're earning an income with, God gave you the ability to get the job and perform the task of the job. I want you to think about all the good things you have in your life. Do you not have good things? I know we have health issues, but we also have some good health in our lives as well. Okay, I have clothes to wear. I have a house to live in. Anything. I mean, just think of like just sitting down and eating a bowl of oatmeal. Just think about God has provided this food for me. And think about everything that I take pleasure in and enjoy. It's from God. And if I start to be mindful of those things, all of a sudden I'm remembering why I want to love, not just should love Him, why I do love Him. I mean, I just sometimes just wake up and I just think, Lord, I love you because I've woken up in a nice comfy bed and the kids are still asleep. But think of Him. Be mindful of Him. And so we set all the structure up to remind us to do the things. And then when those things are happening, think about what is God doing in this right now? Then the last thing to be mindful of, and this is interesting, Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. And this is in the context of these celebrations, that when we're doing these things, ask the people around why we're doing it. Seek the advice and the guidance of others. Did you know, are you ever just like, I need answers? I just need to figure things out? There is wisdom all around us that God has given through people. We just need to know to ask for it. And so there's people all around us right now. Tell them what you're struggling with, what you're going through, what you're trying to figure out. They might have the wisdom for you to give you the guidance that you need to resolve that. But not only this, one of my favorite subjects is history. And this is going to be a testimony to you that history actually is a biblical pursuit. Did you know that? To study history. Because did you notice, he's not just saying there's wisdom to gain in the people that are presently in our lives. But he said this. He said, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Okay, so I'm not just considering the people around me. I'm considering what has happened in the lives of the people that have gone before me. What did they figure out? What did they learn from? And the Jews were always looking back on that history of what is it that God has done. These ceremonies were meant to remind us of what is it that God has done in the lives of other people. And when we learn, what is that saying? Those who never learn history are destined to repeat it, right? Okay. There is so much wisdom around us to learn. We just never tap into it. We just try to figure it out all over again on our own instead of accessing the wisdom that God has given us, and we are missing out on an intimacy with the Lord because we're not establishing these rhythms in our lives that God has taught us to do, and we're not being mindful of what is it that God is doing in my life right now. And lastly, are there any procrastinators in this room? Okay. Lastly, I can set up all the, because listen, that reminder does us no good if we don't do the thing it's reminding us to do, right? And being mindful of that, oh yeah, I need to be praying. Oh yeah, I need to be praying. Oh yeah, I need to be inviting somebody to church and witnessing, doesn't do anything if we don't do it. Okay, and so we can, and this is the thing, we can set up all the structure and never have God move in our lives. There are people that go to church 2-3 times a week, read their Bible and pray every day and all that stuff, and God isn't moving in their lives. So we can have all the structure and God's not moving in our lives. We can have all the organic passion that we have in our lives and still God's not moving in our lives because we're not letting him regulate the way we ought to live, and we're not letting him speak into that and hold us accountable. But we can also have the structure, have the emotions, and not actually have God work in our lives because we're not following through with every bit of it. Because that's really the final thing, the nail that really carries it all together, is starting to follow through. And there's three ways to follow through that are mentioned in these ceremonies. Exodus 13, verse 8, again regarding the Passover. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. We need to start talking about things. Are there things you can remember, stories you can remember from when you were like 8 years old? I just remember, and some of it is because we talked about it all the time. Remember that day when Aunt so-and-so did this, and then this is what Uncle so-and-so did to that? Do you remember? And some of us are like, I know, I've heard this story 1,000 times. Can you please stop telling this story? Okay? But we remember what happened 40 years ago sometimes. We can remember the details of what happened. We can almost visualize it happening. But then I can't remember yesterday, what did we do? What did we do yet? What did we have for dinner? Where are the keys that I just sat down 5 minutes ago? Where is it? We can't remember things that just happened, but we can remember things 40 years ago. You know why? Because we talked about them. The more we talk about things, they stick to us. We recall them. We remember them. We do something about them. And that's why we're instructed here and in many places in Scripture. Talk about the Lord. Talk about his word. Talk about what he's doing in our lives. Talk about what he has done in our lives. That's why I think the people that participate in the Wednesday night discussion group learn way more than what we learn on Sunday morning. Because we're talking about it. We're discussing it. We're sharing what God is doing. And this stuff sticks. We end up following through with this stuff. Because I'm telling you, if you start telling somebody, I've not been praying the way that I should, and I need to start praying more than I should, I should be spending 30 minutes in the morning praying. I'm just throwing out a number. I should be spending 30 minutes in prayer. What happens is those people start to ask you and follow up. So how's that going? Are you doing that? And it's the conversation that creates the stickiness. And I think in some ways we know that. That's why we don't want to tell anybody this stuff. Because we don't want them to know and hold us accountable to it. But this is the follow-through. Talk about it. I think sometimes it's because if we say we need to talk about what God's doing in our lives, we'll realize we have nothing to say. Because God's not doing much in our lives. And we have nothing to say. And we're going to have to face the reality that God isn't using me. God isn't doing something in my life. But listen, it's the talking about it that brings that to the surface, that I now have to face it and deal with it. And so the follow-through is having these conversations. And then Exodus 20, 24, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. I want you to think about this for a moment. And we talked about this last week. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. My Father is always working. Where my Father is doing his will. Do you want to know where the powerful display of the presence of God is? It's in the center of doing his will. And so if we want to be close with him, you know what we should be doing? Getting in the center of his will. That's where he's remembered. That's where he pours out his spirit. That's where he displays his power, is in the middle of his will. Not in the middle of God bless me and give me all the things that I want and all of those things. It's not, I mean, he shows up there in some way or another. But you know, when we step forward and say, I need to serve this person, I need to minister to this person, I need to call this person, I need to share my faith with this person, I need to resist this temptation, I need to do God's will, that's where he shows up like a flood and does many mighty things. And so if I want to experience this, I have to follow through with, and this is scary for some of us, because those who keep in step with the Spirit, those who follow the Spirit are called sons of God. That's Galatians 5. That if we want to be free of the fleshly tendencies, then we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Does that mean I need to be perfect? No. But that what that means is if the Spirit calls me to do it, if the Scripture tells me to do it, I need to walk in that. And if we're going to see God move in our lives, we have to follow through. There are so many Christians that they just want an experience. They just want feelings and emotions. They just want blessings. They just want an assurance of heaven, but they don't want his will for their lives. And God did so many mighty things through Moses, not because he wanted blessings, not because he wanted God's work, but because he was willing to surrender, maybe with some hesitancy, surrender to God's will. And lastly, and that's the point, Numbers 15:39, and it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes. Let me read that again. Not to follow after your own heart. How many times have we heard Christians tell us, follow your heart? That's the dumbest advice anybody could ever give anybody. Follow your heart. Our hearts are not trustworthy. My heart's not trustworthy. But you know how many times we trust our own instincts, our own gut, our own feelings, our own opinions? We should not surrender to ourselves. We should surrender to, Lord, whatever you want from me, I will do that. So if that means spending more time, if that means spending more money, if that means investing, if that means doing things that I feel awkward doing, then I need to do those things anyway, because that's where God is. How much do you want to be close to the Lord this morning? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Lord, we thank you that you are such a patient God. You want us to be in a better place. You want us to be faithful and strong in our faith. But you also keep giving us that grace that is sufficient for us, Lord. You keep showing us grace, and you keep nudging us and keep moving us forward. But I ask, Lord, that you would just continue to fill us with a passion, with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and with the drive, Lord, to seek not only you, but to seek your will, Lord, to desire to live out your will for our lives. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to push past all the obstacles, Lord, all the schedules, all the problems, all the things that need taken care of. Help us to not let those things keep us from seeking you and your will. And help us, Lord, even when there's pushback, even when there's conflict, Lord, help us to keep going after your will. Because, Lord Jesus, that's the example you gave for us. Even when it cost you everything, even when you were agonizing over it in the Garden of Gethsemane, even when you were on the cross, Lord, you pushed through every bit of suffering, hardship, pain, and agony to be faithful to the will of your Father. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to do that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. I love you. And I encourage you, do the things. Set up the rhythms. Be mindful. Seek him. And follow through. He wants to bless you for it. He wants to bless you with his presence. So, love you. God bless you. See you next week.